outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Indeed. Good morning. It's Monday, July 29th. We're back with you.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. You keep track of every day, don't you?
I do. I should have like a word before each day.
That's true. What's the name for Monday? You have hump day. You have
Hump day is Wednesday. Yeah, right. That's happy hump day. I don't know. I feel like I have to like go through this and write them out and like come up with the best one.
I know. Monday is like
everybody
the day.
Everybody can take a vote. Yeah. Help me out here if anybody has any suggestions.
Yeah. The day that shouldn't happen. That's what it is. Mondays are very hard to come back to work, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, especially after this weekend.
Yeah. I know you prepared us for a long weekend. You're going to have to tell us all that happened.
Oh, yes. Wow. I will. How was your weekend? You had a pleasant one?
Yeah, I had a good weekend. I got a fucking parking ticket, I was telling you earlier.
Yeah.
And I was really irritated. $63. And, you know, that was trying to avoid a $15 parking lot. And you end up spending $63. But so that kind of irritated me. But otherwise, it was a great weekend. I had a lot of fun. Drove around the city and stuff, saw some places. And it was cool, yeah. Nothing as exciting as yours, of course, but, you know, I did enjoy the weekend tremendously, yes.
Yeah, well, it's not every day you're riding around in a party bus in an animal costume filled with other people in animal costumes.
Yeah, that's right. And I was listening to the show from Friday. I totally forgot, but you said you had like a Chewbacca costume, right?
I did, and that's what I wore for Halloween. My first year out here, because I was at the Playboy Mansion. I had never been there before, and they got this huge like Halloween party, and you know, so of course it was a female Chewbacca version, about like as sexy as Chewbacca can get.
Sure, wow.
that's where I was.
So what do you wear, like fur and stuff?
Yeah, it was like the skirt is fur, and and then there's like the like boot covers, you know, so it looks like from your knee down, it's all fuzzy.
Oh, really?
So it looks like, yeah.
Are those special boots, or you just put that stuff
just put them over your regular boots.
Oh,
like,
I
have
see,
these,
okay.
Like, crazy, like, black boots. I mean, you can't even actually see them, but they're, like, heels, but they're super comfortable.
Oh, okay.
These are, like, chunky heels. They're kind of like that patent leather, and they like lace up the front. They're like total like stripper boots, but they're they're my Halloween boots because they're just so comfortable, and I somehow find a way to wear them every year.
So
I wear those underneath.
So Chewbacca and a skirt.
Yes,
that sounds
but
interesting.
Yeah. Obviously, like Chewbacca, you know, is not really an animal. I mean, he is and he isn't, but I decided to kind of switch it up because I knew it was going to be really hot. If I wore the top half, it's got like sleeves and a hood.
Right.
So it's all, you know, furry and it's summertime right now.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's crazy.
Super hot. Like, yeah, no thanks. So I kind of switched it up. I wore, I put pigtails in my hair because I was like, oh, I'll just be like a puppy dog. Or as I said, a bitch, cause, you know. Yeah, because I was kind of like, I was a little bit more like rocker about it, you know, about my puppy dogs. I had the pigtails. It was like supposed to be my ears. But then I wore like a choker necklace that looked like a collar.
Oh,
and then I put like a long, like, you know, like dog
like
tags.
A leash?
Yeah, and I put that through it. So it was like a leash.
Right.
And it was, I wore a black tank top and then the fuzzy skirt and the fuzzy boot covers and like these little like fingerless gloves that like went up my arm.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
So when people ask you, what are you? What did you say? Chewbacca or a cat or a dog or whatever?
I said, I'm a bitch.
You're a bitch.
I'm a puppy dog, yeah. Like, if we want to get all technical, that's what I'm supposed to be. And it's funny because there was a guy dressed up like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
and then
I
there was another guy that was also dressed up. He had like dog ears and a tail.
Uh-huh.
And there was a girl that was dressed up like a Dalmatian.
Mm.
And yeah, there were quite a few other dogs
on
the bus.
So people went all out, huh? And
oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. The birthday girl, my friend Amber, she dressed up like a lion. It was so cute. And her boyfriend dressed up like a kangaroo. Like, it was just, there was a dolphin, and there was a mouse, and there was a cat, and there was a, like, it goes on.
So what was the point behind those costumes, though? I mean, it was like
just
a theme or something?
Just to do it. Mm. Like, they just came up with it, and they're like, yeah, let's have a theme to it.
Right. So you ride a bus to where?
We actually went to Malibu.
Oh, okay.
Like Gladstones or something. Uh-huh. So you can imagine all these people like trying
to enjoy
their tea at the waterside. And here we are, like a bunch of crazy kids in animal costumes coming out of a party bus like, hey, we're here. Let's party.
Good.
Everyone's looking at us like we're absolutely nuts. But you know what? That was our goal. Like that's what we get a kick out of. You know, it's funny.
It is. It is. It's crazy and funny. Yeah.
Like, I would think that's awesome if I was hanging out. All of a sudden, I turned around and I saw, you know, what I saw. I'd be like, wow, that's entertainment for the day.
So how many people were on the bus, do you think?
Probably, like, I don't know, maybe 10 or 20.
Oh, really? So that's not that
many, some people came
huh?
up to, like, you know, meet us at the bar.
I see. Okay. Because I thought a bus, maybe there's a lot of people in there.
It's a party bus.
Party bus.
Yeah, it was huge.
Really?
Yeah.
So a party bus, what? It's like all fixed to handle parties?
Yeah, it's basically like a limo.
Yeah.
But it's a bus.
Right.
So they've got, like, of course, like the token stripper pole. And they have, like, the, you know, it's all dark. And then they have the crazy strobe lights and all that stuff.
All inside of a bus, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they have their whole, whole thing fixed out. So, yeah.
Cool. So you went to Gladstones. Did you eat there at Gladstones?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's a nice place. Good fit. You've been there before?
Oh, yeah, several times. It's a cool restaurant in Malibu, right on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nice.
Yeah, that was cool.
And, a lot of people go there, but you're right. I mean, you pay, like, top dollars there to be left in the quiet, you know, and not have people give you that stuff. But
yeah, thank God they like moved us over like to like,
did,
the bar section. Yeah, because at first we had tables, but like we can't all sit together. So I'm like, let's figure out something else here. But yeah, that was fun. I mean, everybody was wasted. They all had a really good time. I had to pace myself because that night I had Danny B's birthday party at Couture. And it was an all-white party.
Danny B,
yeah, he's the owner of Couture. He's like a DJ. And
oh, okay,
he's
yeah.
He's the one that has the boat on 4th of July.
Okay.
But then, yeah, yesterday was also his birthday party, but that one was on the yacht.
Mm.
I see.
Okay.
That was fun, too. Yeah, it's just...
He has a lot of parties, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, like, he is the reason why I do anything really, really cool in L.A.
Really?
He is, like, by far, like, the nicest guy ever. Like, he's one of my best friends. Like, I don't know what I would be doing for fun if I didn't meet him. Like, he is all the,
he's about
crazy
fun.
Awesome parties. So,
yeah.
Yes, and he's just so genuine and adorable. Like, everybody loves him, and he loves everybody.
Right.
Like, he's not, like, I've never seen him get mad or be rude to anybody ever.
Yeah.
Like, super warm, friendly guy.
That's good. I guess when you're a DJ, you shouldn't be fighting with people and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you should
That's
never,
cool.
especially, you should never fight with, fans especially. Like, friggin' Justin Bieber spitting on the crowd in Toronto, Canada. Yes, yes. I heard that actually on the radio coming here this morning.
Wow.
That he, a bunch of fans, were all like outside, like by his balcony where his hotel room was, trying to see if maybe he'll come out, I guess. And he does. And they're all excited, waving at him, whatever. And he's leaning over the railing of his balcony and he just starts like hawking loogies.
Wow.
On his fans. Like, who does that? That's so rude.
Yeah.
You know?
Not only rude, it just shows you the, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. But it just shows you he doesn't really give a shit, you know? I mean, he's like somewhere in the clouds, and he's totally out of touch with people.
Oh, completely.
And, you know, probably looking at them as his minions or something, you know?
Yeah.
But
Minions. Yeah. I love Minions.
Do you love Minions?
From Despicable Me. I have one.
Really?
Yep.
Where did you get it?
It is the love of my life, this little creature.
Really?
Well, it's just a stuffed animal. It's not a real Minion. I wish they were real. No, they're just they're a cartoon for Despicable Me.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I saw the first one, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to get one of those. I remember spending so much time at a carnival trying to win one.
Really?
And then somebody else got it before me, and I was so upset. So when I went to go see the second one, I was like, you know, telling my friend I saw it with, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so obsessed. I want one of those so bad. Uh-huh. And then the next day, he was like, oh, I have a gift for you. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, stop by. And it was a Minion. His name is Stuart. The Minion's name is Stuart. He has one eyeball. Yeah, because some of them have two. Some of them have one.
Oh, they do. That's right. I never paid attention to that. That's true, though.
And also, I have. I can also speak their language now.
Oh, really?
I've seen translation. Yeah.
Oh, so they have like a different language?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, if you ever
I saw the first one.
Yeah, they have like they say their own like weird little stuff.
Really?
Yeah. And hello is bello. Goodbye is bye-bye. Toy is baboy. What is pokai? I'm trying to think. I don't know. There's like a bunch of words that
I learned. How did you learn that language?
I actually found something. Nikki, my roommate, she sent me something that she found on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a translation
from English
to, to the Minion language.
The Minionese.
Minionese. There you go. It's funny. But I have a photo on my Instagram.
That's funny.
I don't know if I have it on my Twitter. I should put it up on my Twitter if I think of it. But yeah, I'm holding my Minion Stuart.
So you got a
and
Minion.
And he sleeps with me at night. That's like my new like cuddle buddy. Yeah.
Did you see the movie Despicable Me 2?
I did.
Oh, you did.
Because that's why I kept obsessing about it.
Okay.
So then after the movie, then the next day, he brought me
a
Minion.
You got yourself a Minion.
Yeah. So I was like out of my mind. It was like the last one at Toys R Us.
Really?
And he's like, there was somebody else looking at it. And then I did a lap around it because he's like, I knew if he saw me looking at it, then he was going to want to buy it because somebody else wanted it. So he's like, I left and then I came back and he was still there. And then I grabbed it and bought him. I was like, oh my gosh, that's the most amazing thing ever.
God, you were the stuffed animals. Mm-hmm. So do you have stuffed Hello Kitties too?
Oh, of course.
You do, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. You probably have everything they ever made for Hello Kitty, huh?
Yeah, probably. Actually, I have this one. Oh, my gosh.
Do you have like a shrine at home?
I have a few. I mean, my whole bedroom is basically a Hello Kitty shrine.
Oh, God.
Yeah. See, that's why I don't bring boys home. No, I'm just kidding. There's many other reasons why I don't bring boys home. And I don't go to boys' houses. I just want to clarify that. Now that we know. So I don't want to think like, oh, that's cool. Then you just go to the guy's house. Like, no. I mean, I don't go to anybody's house. No. But yeah, it'd be so frightening for like any guy that steps in my bedroom. He'd be like, oh, I'm so out of here.
Yeah, you're like stuck in back in time or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty
funny,
bad.
It's funny, but I see a lot of Hello Kitty out there. I mean, there's definitely a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, there's actually people, believe it or not, there are people that are worse than I am. But I have this one. It's a big one. Mm-hmm. It sits at my kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
So in case Nikki's not there, I'm never alone. Yes, Hello Kitty sits, 'cause it's big. I put it in the chair.
Yeah.
So I have a big kitchen table in my apartment. But it's embroidered on there. It says 30-312. So that means that was the 30th one made out of 312. They only made that many.
Wow.
I got that for Christmas.
Nice.
So that's a very special Hello Kitty collector's item.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have our guest calling. I forgot to introduce it but let's find out. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Jim?
Hi, is this Sam in the Morning?
Is this Jim Millis?
This is Jim Millis. I'm scheduled to call in.
Yes, thank you for calling in, Jim. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling us from today?
New York City.
Oh, you're in New York. Everybody's in New York. I don't know what we're doing here, but everybody seems to be back there. Is that where you grew up in New York? Is that your home?
Yes. I grew up in New York City to a large Greek family here.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Greek families are fun.
I didn't hear you.
Greek families are fun.
Is it like my big fat Greek
whenever
wedding?
Whenever I need material, I just go visit them with a tape recorder, and I have material for a few more shows.
Right. There you go.
I bet.
Now, the reason Jim is talking about shows and stuff is because you're a comedian that used to be a CFO, which is a chief financial officer for corporations and stuff. So now, you were like a CFO for how long? Like most of your life?
Roughly, the last 22 years, 23 years, I've either been a CFO or the guy under the CFO, the controller.
Right.
Kind of moved up the ladder. And I worked at a few banks, and around 9/11, I saw that the banks weren't doing as well, so I switched over, and I was at a hospital, helping the hospital with their finances. And then the last company I worked at was a college here in New York City. It's for actors and actresses, and I helped them clean up their finances and become one of the more solid colleges in the country, you know, financially.
Right.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. So so you've been doing that for a long time. And so what, one day you just decided this is too boring for me, I can't do it anymore?
Yeah, that's a drastic difference.
Well, I have two, I guess you could call them two loves. Like, I'm good with numbers, and I can explain numbers to people. Like in fact, at the college, I was the only non-actor in the whole college. The teachers were actors, all the people working in every department were actors, and I was the finance guy, and I had to basically... I came into a mess. Like, they had millions of dollars in debt. They had people calling in saying, I haven't been paid. You know, the payroll was even a few months back. They had IRS liens. The whole thing was a mess that I walked into. And I was just very calm and cool about fixing it all up and hiring a department. In fact, and the other thing was, everyone was beautiful and very dramatic. Actors are very dramatic. So my wife for a while thought I was running a brothel because I was the ugliest guy in the building.
There you go. That's the way to work, man.
Like, it was, but again, I helped clean it up methodically, nicely, easily. I worked with every single vendor, every single student, every figured out who we owed money to, who owed us money, and talked to everyone at the Department of Ed, the IRS, you know, basically showed them that this is doable and fixable, and we basically did it. So I have a little, I guess, I have a way of calming everybody down, you know, because it's very hard to work when you're stressed out.
That's true.
Even doing the simplest things become super complicated and hard when you're stressed out.
Right.
But when I tell stories, I was at a party or something, and I was telling a story. I think it was about my nephew, and we were at a Yankee game, and I was complaining about how the hot dog prices are so expensive, and I think I told my nephew, who was 9 years old, I said, you know, for the same price, we could have both eaten Fruit Loops off a hooker's nipple and that kind of thing. And my nephew still wanted the hot dogs.
Yeah.
So I was telling this story, and a comedy agent said, you know, you tell a story in a very mellow way. You're not yelling and screaming or jumping up and down the stage. You're very calm, and people want to listen to this because I talk about my family a lot. Like, it's my wife, my parents, my uncles, aunts. It's a crazy Greek family and all that stuff.
Right.
And so the last 13 years, that was 13 years ago, the last 13 years I was doing comedy. So I would leave the office with the suitcase, the briefcase, the tie, and go straight to the comedy club.
Wow, that's amazing. Now,
so
Yeah. So and I had a huge stage fright thing. And so it actually helped me with my speeches at the office as well. You know, giving the speeches. But at my first day on the stage, I puked in the bathroom right before I went up.
Oh.
It was at the comic strip in New York. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but this is where all the legends were found. You know, Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy and George Carlin, all these guys were, Ray Romano, Seinfeld, Chris Rock, all these guys were discovered there. And here I am, a nobody, walking in a suit and tie and a briefcase and thinking I'm going to be funny. And so it was scary, very scary, but it worked out. Everyone laughed and they got the jokes. And it's wild because most of it was true. It was very true stuff.
Right. Now, so did you decide you're going to leave your job and do this full time, or is this something that you do simultaneously?
Yeah, I do them both now. Basically, I help companies work things out. You know, like I help them figure out how to, if there's a merger, let's say, I help them figure out how to get through the merger and all that. Like, how, if it's stressful, I help them work out the kinks that way.
Right.
And, I have a seminar about teamwork, I have another seminar. So I basically make it funny, as well as, I teach something. And a lot of times the company will say, we want you to talk about a certain thing. So I talk about different things.
Right.
You know, like people here hate their jobs. Their motivation is very low. Pick up the motivation. They'll say something like that. So I have to research the company a little bit, figure out what they've done. And then I have a talk that's usually very funny, and I kind of have the people working in it as well. You know, they kind of, I have a lot of volunteers as well. So it kind of works out nicely.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, you know, to be able to do what you love and be known for being funny and being able to solve problems and stuff, I think is pretty cool, you know. So now when you go into a company and you help them out and stuff, do they know you're going to provide some comedy? I mean, do they expect it from you, or do you keep those things separate?
They know that they basically want me to make it interesting, make it funny, but I can't get too dirty. I have to keep it clean. You know, they'll give me guidelines. Don't make fun of the boss. He just got a divorce, or whatever it is. I'm not allowed to say certain things.
Right.
But basically, for the most part, they expect me to make them laugh, but also to teach them whatever they're asking for. Because again, I'm a serious CFO, and again, the main thing I teach is you got to love what you're doing and all that. You got to love what you're doing, and if you don't love it, I can help you to love what you're doing and all that. You know, you got to have. It's got to be value-driven, what you're doing. It can't just be for the money.
No, it's true, because other people, otherwise people just burn out, they're not happy with what they do. And it's amazing that you find excitement in working with numbers, I mean, I used to do accounting, and it was interesting for a while, but then I thought, I need something different. But it takes a certain personality, a certain temperament, I think, to be patient with these things and so forth. So you consult companies too, right?
Yeah, I can go in and help clean things up. Like with the college, I mean, it was so bad, they had no clue what they were. They had a good product. They taught the students very well, but they didn't know who owed them money or who they owed money to. It was a mess. Yeah. And no one knew where to start, and they were behind three audits. And when your students are borrowing money from the government, these federal loans and things like that to go to school, the government puts these rules on you. You have to be doing things correctly. Because they weren't, they weren't, the students weren't allowed to borrow certain loans, like the subsidized loan and the unsubsidized federal loans, all those loans, the SEOG grants, the Pell grants, they weren't allowed to get any of those. And that we got them, so they are allowed to get them. And we had to follow we had to jump through a whole bunch of hurdles. You know, so I had to clean up, even though I was there, One year I had to go back 3 years and clean up their finances for the last 3 years and then go forward.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very stressful.
So it took
stressful,
3 years?
So it's not like I'm saying, you know, I'm saying tra-la-la, I love what you do. I actually get down, roll up the sleeves and show you how to do it too.
Right. Yeah. Cool. What were you going
to
say?
So, no, I was just saying, so it took you 3 years to clean up the mess that they'd made before you could move on?
Well, no. Basically, I started there in 2005. So they had they had no audits for 3 years. So I had to, in 2005, to 2006, I basically cleaned up the last 3 years of audits, talked to all the different vendors and customers and even the Department of Ed, and got them to love the school, not just like us, to love us, to trust us. And I basically walked them through it. I explained that what's happening and how we're going to be able to pay all our bills, and I can't pay you. I know I owe you $1 million, but I'm going to give you $100 now, but I'm going to definitely keep you in the loop and show you how I'm going to keep paying you and the whole thing. So it was very tough.
Steps.
It wasn't like easy stuff, but roughly after a year, we were on the right track. And after 3 years or 2 years, I got banks to want to lend us money so we can grow and get bigger and bigger.
Right. Wow, that's pretty cool. So,
and that's also another thing I do. I do seminars for individuals, you know, who want to get a loan or a mortgage. I do that for companies too, how to present to banks, you know, because banks are, you know, banks want to give you money, but you got to make it make sense for them, you know.
I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
spoon feed them. They're not going to just give it to you.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So did you always have an inclination for comedy? I mean, did you always feel you were funny and that you wanted to share this with other people?
Well, with me, with my family, they were always funny. They were always, and you know, like my dad would be always, you know, I'm the reason you're funny. I'm the one that calls you an idiot and all that stuff, that kind of thing. You know, he was always tough on me. My mom, you know, these people are very tough. They're not lovey-dovey people. I'm not sure how your families were, but my parents loved to yell and scream. They'd yell about my head being too big right in front of me. You know, he has a long head. No, he's got a fat head. Look at that, you know, right in front of me.
And
yeah, I went to my wife's family, you know, the in-laws for Thanksgiving, and it was so, they were all so sweet and nice. How are you doing? I'm fine, thank you, and please, and all that.
Yeah.
It didn't seem natural to me. Our family, they just yell and scream from the minute you walk in.
I guess that's the way it is, you know, the European or Mediterranean countries and stuff. That's pretty funny.
Definitely. They think they're doing you a favor, telling you know, all your problems at a very young age. So this way, you know, you don't grow up thinking you're handsome or you're smart or you're beautiful. You know, they don't want you to have a, you know, be well adjusted too early.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a great childhood. I had a big head, big nose, one eyebrow, and at least the hairy back didn't start setting in until I was 7.
Oh God.
But the big head had its pluses. You know, when I was in school, they couldn't shove my whole body, my whole thing all the way into the lockers. You know. Yeah. Too bad it took like 20 minutes of slamming the door in my face to figure that out.
Wow.
And everything. But it was a lot of fun and all that, the childhood with the parents and all that. And it still is. My parents still, I can't tell if it's love or not, but they just work well together. So this past week I was there at their house and they were, you know, they were in the kitchen together, you know, in the same room, and they were talking and still ignoring each other. Have you ever had anything like that? They were talking to each other and still ignoring each other.
Wow. That's very funny. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You can't possibly grow up in a family like that and be normal, right?
Well, and I always thought, yeah, I mean, I just thought all I do is explain what they do. And again, I couldn't do it justice here. I don't do one-liners. I tell stories. So, so basically, I tell you my, I guess it would be kind of like a Bill Cosby who tells stories and all that about things. So each individual sentence isn't funny, but the whole story, everyone relates to it. So they get it. They're dying laughing and all that stuff. I think this past week, and again, I know I should put it into a speech, because I mean, I'm sure it happens to other families, but my mom is sitting there, you know, talking about the stove being broken and my father has to fix it and why doesn't he fix it and the whole thing, and my father is like, I had a pen right here on the table, do you know where it is? And she'll be like, the stove is broken, you have to calling the guy to fix it, and but the pen was next to this envelope. The envelope is still here, but the pen's not here. So they're going back and forth,
yeah,
and completely two different things going on.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting
funny.
In the room, I don't know, it was a big thing there.
Yeah, it's very funny.
45 minutes of this.
Yeah.
So, and your style of comedy, you said before, you're more of like a calm comedian, like that's like kind of your thing, like you don't get up there and start screaming and jumping around the stage.
yeah at one time I said something like, hi, how are you, I'm very excited to be here, and everybody was laughing, and I'm serious, and I guess because I was very mellow or something, and it was a long day at the mm-hmm. office.
Yeah. Well, Jim,
I'm very mellow usually the whole time. I guess when I'm only when I'm maybe imitating my mom or my
imitating
dad or
your
my
parents,
wife.
Yeah.
The only thing is, they all wind up with even my son. They all wind up with and he's 18 months old. They all wind up with like a New York City accent there.
Yeah, funny. Well, Jim Mellis, comedian, financial advisor, motivational speaker, host, and MC. You sure do a lot of different things.
Wow.
And congratulations on that. Where can people find out more about you, Jim?
They can go to my website, jimmellis.com. It talks about it also has the manager's information there, Brushwood Media. They also book me for all these things, but you find them all through there, or you can go to the manager's website as well, brushwoodmediagroup.com.
Okay.
But jimmellis.com is just as easy. They all go to the same place, and you could see some funny things. You might even see a few pictures of my son and things like that as well, because he's a little funny as well.
Yeah, sounds great, man. I mean, it sounds exciting. You know, you found your passion, and that's good. You kind of connected the things that you like and put them together.
Yeah, it's really
pretty
cool.
Yeah, the whole thing is, it's not, again, it's not easy at all. You got to push to do all this stuff. And that's the other thing. I kind of help people figure out how to push and what to do.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know, if somebody, I play a lot with my son. You know, the last few years, I when I left the school about a year ago, 18 months ago, really, I left when my son was born, and I kind of helped him out as a consultant. But basically, I wanted to be home and doing what I like, so I had to figure out how do I do this. So you have to have a plan. You don't just one day get up and say, hey, I'm going to go be funny. It took a plan, and you got to work it through.
That's true.
And I kind of help people do all that stuff there.
Right. Well, it sounds pretty good, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure this helps you to connect with people, and you show people how to connect with each other. And that's cool. So everybody check out jimmellis.com. That's M as in Mary, ELIS.com. And you can find out more about him and contact him if you need to. Jim, thank you so much for the time. And
thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yeah,
congratulations,
sure.
And all the best to you.
Okay, guys. Thanks again. We'll talk soon. Have
okay.
a good one.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
So, a lot of comedians in this world.
Yeah.
Could you do, like, stand-up comedy, you think?
I think I could if I had the right material. My mom is always telling me that.
Really?
She's like, can you please start doing stand-up? Like, oh my gosh, you're so funny and blah,
really?
Blah, blah. But
wow.
I feel like I'm, like, my version of funny is, like, I don't know it.
Yeah.
Like, I just do things or say things sometimes, and I'm not really trying to be funny, but yeah. They are really funny.
Good, then you're a funny person.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I really should try to get something together, especially with my group of friends, because mm-hmm. they're all, like, huge comedians.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
yeah.
like, I watch a ton of stand-up. Like, I'm
really?
Walking down to the comedy store all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the parlor Monday nights, actually. I should go.
Don't you get bored of it after a while? I mean, it all starts to sound the same, you know, after a while.
You
even
know, can
in the
I tell
show.
You something? Yeah. I have seen Brent Morin. He's, oh my gosh, he's like super, super good friend of mine. I have seen him probably do like the same bit since like the first time I saw him. And I will still laugh just as hard, if not harder.
Really?
Especially because I know what's coming up. And he always like puts a different twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it never exactly, like I think I know what he's going to say and then he'll say something else.
Oh,
and
really?
Then he'll deliver the punchline. And I'm yeah. like, oh my God. Like, it's just, yeah, I cannot get over it. Just so, so funny.
Yeah. I know.
I
don't think I could do that. You know, I mean, it's hard to stand in front of all the crowd and remember
it's
all the
so
stuff
tough.
And be funny about stuff that you've regurgitated for so many times and still be able to make it funny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I mean, I admire comedians and I think they have a lot of courage doing what they do, you know,
yeah.
on stage and stuff. So,
yeah, a lot.
I mean, because if you bomb, man, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. Oh, that's just the worst.
It
like,
is
you
the
just
worst.
Look at a person standing on a stage and expect them to, like, make you laugh. Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, next. All right, say something funny. Let's go. Make me laugh. Like, that's so much pressure.
Yeah.
Especially because people are going to, you know, most of the time people want to laugh, but it depends on the crowd and what kind
yeah.
of mood they're in.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, every time I've seen Brent, he
funny.
Always gets the crowd going, like, yeah. 100%.
That's good.
He's so talented. He's actually in Montreal right now. He was mm. over the weekend. They did the Just for Laughs
mm-hmm.
festival or something.
Yeah.
He did it
good.
Last year, too. Oh, and he was in Variety magazine for, like, top 10 comedians.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
yeah, like,
big.
He's really, really doing well. I'm so
yeah.
proud of him. And he was on Conan O'Brien. Like, he used to work, like, he used to get Conan's coffee.
Oh,
you
yeah?
know, like, he's come such a long way. Like, now he's, like, on the show, sitting on the couch as a guest.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I wanted to play you this, we were listening to this, and you're like, what is that?
Oh, yeah.
I guess...
it's just random screaming.
Yeah, sometimes,
I'm like, what are you watching,
sometimes
Sam?
Sometimes people lose their minds, and I'm sure everybody's seen, like, a person get really angry, but
mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous here. So I guess this man was driving in the car with his wife, and she started losing it, and he recorded it, and now it went viral. So... So then they're asking him, you know, why did you do this? So let's listen to the video. I mean, you gotta listen to her.
Okay.
She's totally like losing it here.
And now they're getting a divorce. Take a look.
I just want one day where I can go on the lake.
Because you're not getting. It's okay. That's the best part about this. Now you're going to text everybody.
I am, and that is the... I want to go on the lake!
So you're going to make me look like a bad guy.
Because
so
you are! You're not taking your life out on the lake that we spend money for! Please! I'm about to go crazy!
You already
Please,
have.
Please,
oh,
wow.
All right, well, we've got Jim on the phone.
Okay, this is funny. I mean, she totally lost it, you know.
Holy
and I mean, do you ever get mad like that?
No.
Uh-huh.
See, that's one thing about me is I feel like people have told me this before too. I don't ever really get mad.
Mm-hmm.
I just get more like sad.
Mm.
Like I don't ever get angry. Like I've never like thrown anything against the wall
right.
or raised my voice or.
Yeah.
You know, got like
Even
super out of hand.
Even when people irritate you and
like,
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, yeah, I don't know. I just don't, scream or yell or like push people or get violent. Like, I'm just very like, I don't know. I just kind of like go within myself. I just kind of get sad.
You direct the anger inside instead of outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I know, which also isn't good. I know that sometimes I just like hold things in.
Yeah, that can lead to depression and stuff. But you've got to. But I mean, there's ways to resolve differences without screaming like this. And now he recorded it and it went viral on the internet, you know, from YouTube. I mean, can you imagine? So she's divorcing him now.
Oh my God! Something about like a trip that they saved up money for and he's not taking her. Did you catch that? I was trying to find out why she was so upset.
She felt that she wasn't getting her way. It's like, you always get your way, she said, or something like that.
Oh man.
So, you know, even if one time I can have my way, blah blah blah. That's what I was hearing. I don't know.
Still, she was just outright screaming. Like, woman, who are you?
Yeah. So, and you've got to be careful. I mean, even your husband can fucking put your shit on online, you know?
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Even he says, like, oh, now you're going to text everybody and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, my God.
Some people should not be together, man. They definitely should not be together.
Yeah, some people need anger management.
Yeah.
That's what she needs.
Yeah. So, so you went to that... that party, did you go on a boat again this past weekend?
Yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was actually, it was in San Diego.
Oh, so you went to San Diego too?
Yeah.
Wow, what a busy fucking weekend. Yeah,
right, that's what I'm saying. It was like three birthday parties. Like, you went from, you know, the animal party bus during the day Saturday to Couture Saturday night, which also, oh my gosh, the one thing I love about this place, and some people might not, but the go-go dancer girls, they actually dance with snakes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, they have.
Do you like that? Does that appeal to you?
I love it.
Really? You love snakes?
Yeah, and I've gotten a photo of it before, like, around my neck, but I wanted another one because the girl was, like, hanging out, you know, taking her break, talking to some people. And I was like, can I... hold it.
And she's like,
yeah,
sure.
And, you know, she gave it to me. And, yeah, just right away, like, coiled itself around my arm.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to, like, uncoil it so I can, like, you know, put it around, like, you know, on the other side of my neck and, like, hold it out. And it's just the cutest little friendliest reptile. It comes around. There's actually, I have a photo of it. Again, I don't know which pictures of my Instagram go on Twitter. So I'll have to put that one up, too. But it's kind of like, you know, I'm holding it out with my hands and then its head comes around and all of a sudden I feel something and it's like little tongue was like giving me, it was like giving me kisses, the snake. It was so cute. I was like, oh, little baby.
Oh, you're crazy.
I loved it. I'm like, I want to take this home with me. It's so much fun.
Wow.
Yeah,
a lot of
people
fear
cute.
Snakes, you know?
And
they're
so friendly. Yeah, I mean, obviously poisonous ones and rattlesnakes, like, you know what, you know?
Well, it doesn't matter if it can kill you or not, you know? I mean, the question is, do you like snakes or not? It doesn't matter if they're poisonous or not.
Yeah, I
but,
do.
But, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, especially this one, because it's so, like, oh, my gosh.
I don't get so people's fascination with snakes, but what do I know? Maybe they like that it seems risky or something, you know?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. I've never really been afraid of them. I also took a photo. I think it was in Florida. This one was, like, huge.
Really?
Like, I mean, I could barely stand up once he put it on. Actually, it took two of us. It took my cousin and I both to hold up the snake.
Oh, really?
It was so huge and heavy.
Wow.
But, oh, I got such a kick out of it. I loved it.
That's
so cool.
A huge one. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that like a python or something?
You know, I don't even know the different kinds of snakes and their names and whatever. I just look at them.
Because in
Florida,
like, oh, they have a lot of those big ones that have been multiplying like crazy and stuff, and they're eating all the animals.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
I know. So, but so they've got a problem. That's why I was wondering. But I mean, you know, snakes, it's just somebody posted on Facebook a picture of a snake that he stepped on by mistake. And I guess the snake attacked his shoe or something, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, that's a scary shit.
Yeah,
the snakes
at Couture, they don't like, bite. They won't hurt you. They're very nice snakes.
But don't tell me, I mean, if you walked and you saw a snake in front of you, you wouldn't say it's cute. You would run the other way, probably,
right? I mean,
right?
If I thought it could potentially hurt me, no, I wouldn't want to get hurt by the snake. But if I knew it was, you know, like the ones they have at Couture, I'd probably, like, pick it up and take it home with me.
You wouldn't know.
That's the thing. You wouldn't know. But
with a snake, you never know, man.
But those snakes are friendly. It was cute. It was giving me kisses. I loved it. Yes. And
it's just, I think, a very mysterious animal. That's why people fear it, you know? I mean, it crawls, it can jump, it can, you know, it can do a lot of things.
And they have, like, a million layers that they can just, like, shed.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know.
But,
they just look freaky, man.
Yeah. That was Saturday night with the snakes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So then you went on the boat.
Yesterday was the yacht in San Diego.
Was the weather nice? Or was it overcast?
Yeah, no, it was so nice. I mean, at one point it got a little bit cloudy.
Cloudy, yeah.
But
San Diego does all the time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But no, for the most part it was really nice. Because we didn't get there until about like 3:30
ish. Oh, so you started late, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the sun was out the whole time we were on the boat, pretty much, because, you know, the sun's out like forever in the summer.
Yeah.
It doesn't set till like 8 o'clock or something, 8:30.
So this DJ has like boats all over. Is that what the deal is?
Well, this boat was like, it was more like a small cruise than like a boat or a yacht. I mean, this thing was just, it was massive, massive ship. But he was DJing on like the outside, like the top level.
Oh, okay.
Level.
All right. So it's not his ship or anything.
No. Right. No, he has a 50-foot Bayliner in the marina
okay.
Del Rey here.
All right.
Yeah, that's his boat. That was from 4th of July. No, this boat it was just a little party cruise escapade.
Nice.
I mean, it didn't really go very far. We just kind of went out under a bridge and came back around. And it was a really
sounds
fun time.
Good.
We took
sounds like a lot of fun.
Limo down there. And
Wow.
I was thinking I'd rather be in the limo than the RV because that thing was packed. Because that's what we took to Vegas for Memorial Weekend.
That's right.
It was an RV, and there were just so many people in it. So I was like, oh, they can't fit everybody in the RV, so we also have a limo. It's like, in a limo, I know I can sit like a normal human being and not be like laying across like 20 people on some random bed couch thing. Like, no thanks. I'll take the comfortable route.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I did.
Well, good for you. You certainly know how to party, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It was fun.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right, Mia. Well, that's it for today. So, everybody, thank you all for joining us. It is Monday, and I'm going to try and make it throughout the day in one piece. So, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.